Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
I'm wearing this jumper in honor of our young adults who are having a great time in Baldivis. I was there last night and I'm telling you, you should be proud of our young adults in this place. They were on fire for God and God just worked in a tremendous way last night. And we're going to witness maybe next week or the following week. They're going to have water baptism this morning where they are. I think they're going to go to the beach somewhere. And it's going to be fantastic for us to hear their story a bit later on in the week, all right? Hey, welcome to church, everybody. My name is Daniel Indrajaya. I'm the lead pastor of this church. If this is your first time coming to our church, you are our special guest. Our slogan here is no perfect people allowed. We believe none of us is perfect, and that's the reason why we're here. Every Sunday, we believe that we need God's grace and forgiveness, and we received that 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. He died for the penalty of our sins. So that's the good news. If you're not a Christian, let me tell you, God wants to have a relationship with you. He wanted it so bad, He sent Jesus to die on your sin so that the broken relationship that you have with Him can be restored again. So that's the good news. Hey, a bit of extra announcement. On the 30th of July, we're going to have our AGM. And if you are a church partner, you know who you are, please attend at 1 o'clock right here in this place. Lunch is going to be provided. If you're not a partner of The Rocks Church, you are free to sign up at the connection desk if you agree with the vision, the mission of our church. And, you know, there's some criteria that we set. You can join and become a partner for us with us here as well. All right, so that's that. We are in the second week of our sermon series that we started last week called David. And we started the series by looking at a 15-year-old David having the battle of his life as he battled the biggest enemy in the land, a giant called Goliath. And we learned last week that you can't put your hope and your trust in men, because if you do, you're going to be disappointed. But you can put your hope and trust in the Lord, because God's ways are never changing. He's always for you. He's always on your side. Maybe we don't think it, but He's always there for us. So when you put your trust and hope in Him, you can count on Him and you will not be disappointed. So if you missed that, please catch up on our podcast or on the Rocks app or on our YouTube channel or website, all right? But today, we're going to start the second part of David. And I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer one more time. Can we pray? Father, we thank You for this time that we have. Lord, for the next 25, 30 minutes, I pray that You speak to us. I believe, Lord, we're here for a reason. Your word is going to remind us, going to refresh us. And Lord, for whatever situation that we are in right now, Father, we know that You have a word in season for us. Thank You. Speak to us. We're ready to listen. In Jesus' name, we give You thanks. Everyone say amen. You know, as a human being, there are three different emotional conditions that we can have that can put us off track. These three giants, if you like, are so dangerous in our life that it can affect even the best of us. I'm talking about fear, anger, and loneliness. When you are afraid, when you are angry, and when you are lonely, you can do things that you wouldn't normally do. In fact, you will cross the boundaries, the moral boundaries, the ethical boundaries that you have set for yourself. Forget about God's boundaries. You may not even believe in God. But when you are fearful, angry, and lonely, you will do some of the most stupid things in the world that you wouldn't otherwise normally do. And if you're a Christian, this is the funny part. When you are angry, alone, or afraid, God's ways are not appealing to you. They're the most disappealing to you. And also, His ways are not relevant to you at that particular point. Why? Because you are angry, alone, and you are afraid. And when you are angry, alone, and afraid, you tend to want to do something. Something that you're familiar with, something that you know, something that experience told you that, okay, I can do this because I did it before, this can work again for me. Instead of putting your trust in God, when you are angry, isolated, and afraid, you are compelled to do something that you think will work. And most of the time, let me tell you, it puts you in a worse situation. You become angrier, you become even more isolated, and then you become even more afraid because things don't go out usually the way you plan it when you make decisions when you're angry, alone, or afraid. This morning, we're going to learn from the life of David. I don't know if you know, but David had two major failures in his life. One is very well known. It was recorded in the Bible. He made it when he was in his 50s. We're going to talk about this in the last week of our sermon series, David. So make sure you come back for week 4 of David. We're going to talk about this adultery that he did in his 50s. And you don't want to keep your kids in the big church. Make sure they go into the kids area, all right? But he also made a major mistake in his 20s. He was only 22 years old when he made this terrible, terrible mistake that he had to live with for the rest of his life, all right? And we're going to learn from David. Let me give you a bit of a background so that we can get caught up in the story. So he slayed this giant called Goliath with his own sword, and he became so popular in the nation of Israel. And Saul, the king, was a bit jealous of David, and he wanted to get David to be on his side because he was fearful that David was going to overthrow him as king because he was so popular. Little did he know that the prophet actually already did anoint David to be the next king, but nobody knew about it yet. So Saul was so insecure about the popularity of David, he tried to get David on his side, so much so that he offered one of his own daughters to marry David, right? The name is Michal. I don't know how you pronounce it. But David was 15 years old, and David politely said, "No, King Saul, I'm not worthy to be your son-in-law." So I don't know why David said no. Maybe because he was 15, all right? That could be one reason. Or second reason, and I believe in this theory because it's my theory, I think the daughter was ugly. That's why David said no, all right? But it's not in the Bible. That's just my theory. Anyway, David became even more popular, and Saul became more and more jealous. So he sent David to these different battles, to these different wars, in the hope of killing David. But every single time, David always came back victorious. He became even more popular. And the people that were closest to Saul seemed to like David very much. His own son, Jonathan, became best friend with David. And finally, David did marry one of Saul's other daughters, the prettier one. And Saul was hoping that now it's going to be good, now it's going to be good. But no, he just couldn't overcome his insecurity, and he wanted to get David every single time. And Jonathan and Michal and everybody else that were closest to him seemed to like David also, so he has had enough. One night, he was throwing a dinner party, all right? And he was hoping that, you know, the king threw a dinner party, everybody was supposed to be there. But David was not there. Probably Jonathan gave him an excuse, you know, why he wasn't there. And that's it. That is the last hay on the straw, or the last hay on the back of the camel for him. And he did this. He was so angry. We catch up with the story in 1 Samuel 20:30. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, Jonathan is his own son, "You," and this is why, when you read a Bible story to your kid at night, you got to be careful which part of the Bible that you pick, all right? Don't pick this part, because this is probably where we get the English phrase that we always use all the time. He said this, "You, son of a perverse and rebellious woman, you, don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse?" The son of Jesse is David. "To your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you." I hope that mother was not there at the table when he said this. I'm guessing he doesn't have a very good marriage, all right? "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, why are you siding with David? Don't you understand? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, you know who's going to be affected the most? Neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Jonathan, you are the next in line to be king. And if you let this happen, if you keep helping your friend David, you're not going to be the next king. He's going to be the next king. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die." You know, when you're a king, your word is very powerful. When you say he must die, you know what that means? That means he must die. And Jonathan, being a friend of David, he went to him and said, "David, you got to get out of town, man. In fact, you got to get out of the country. That's it. My father is so angry at you. You're gonna be killed. You're gone. That's it." So David, at 22 years old, 7 years after he slayed the giant Goliath, suddenly, he finds himself being afraid, being on the run, being isolated and angry at Saul. Why? The man that I protected all these years, the nation that I was giving my life for, the battles that I went to, everything came to nothing. So David, at 22 years old, he is afraid, alone, and most probably he's very angry at Saul and at the people around him. And when you are angry, what do? You panic. That's what he did. He panicked. David went and he did something that he would regret for the rest of his life. And that's what we do, right? When you're angry, alone, and afraid, you panic. And you do things that you don't normally do. So let's continue the story. David went to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. I have to explain this to you a little bit. See, the Ark of the Covenant for the people of Israel is very important. The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. And the Ark of the Covenant is kept in the tabernacle. And at that time, during this time, Jerusalem was not yet part of Israel. You see, Jerusalem was not yet conquered, if you like. And the Ark of the Covenant moved from place to place wherever it was safe. So at this particular point in history, the Ark of the Covenant stayed in the tabernacle with the high priest in the city called Nob, and David went there. David went to Nob, to Ahimelech the high priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met him. See, he thought, what happened? Because David came by himself. He didn't look like the normal David that he knew. When he came, he's usually with 1,000 soldiers and all that. So he trembled when he met him and he asked, why are you alone? Why is no one with you? Then David did what he normally wouldn't do. He lied to Ahimelech the high priest. Can you imagine? Now, David was at the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. It was right there. And most probably the original 10 commandments that were given to Moses was right there next to him, probably 10 feet away from him. And you know what it says in one of the 10 commandments? Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not lie. And David believed this all his life. But at this point, when you are angry, when you are afraid, when you are lonely, you do things that you don't normally do. So David answered Ahimelech to the priest instead of saying, and being honest, like, hey, Saul wanted to kill me. I'm running from him. This is what he said. He lied. The king sent me on a mission, secret mission. And he said to me, no one is to know anything about the mission I'm sending you on. And as for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place. Yeah, right. So it was so ridiculous. Ahimelech probably found it really, really hard to believe David. And David just lied through his teeth to the high priest, nonetheless. And he was hungry. I don't know how long he's been on the run. So he said to the high priest, Ahimelech, now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find. He was hungry, so he was asking for food. And Ahimelech, the high priest, didn't have anything on hand to give to David at the time. What he had was only consecrated bread. So this is what he said. The priest answered David, I don't have any ordinary bread on hand, you know, the regular bread that we normal people eat. However, there is some consecrated bread. Now, the priests, every Sabbath, they would bake this fresh bread to be put on the altar as an offering to God. And they would eat them, obviously, because otherwise who would eat them? They would eat them, but the bread would signify their offering to God. And only the priest and his family were allowed to eat this consecrated bread. So he said, you know, I don't have this bread from coals, but I have this consecrated bread here, provided the men, your men, have kept themselves from women. Because, you know, this is different from any ordinary bread. And David took that bread, you know, he didn't care. And then something else happened. And before we read this part of the story, my prayer, my hope is that you would open your heart and see if God is saying something to you right now. I know you come here for different reasons. You come to church today, maybe your friend promised you lunch, and you are here, you are at church, and you think, okay, I just can't wait to get out of here. But let me tell you, you're here for a reason. And if you just open your heart in the next part, maybe, God, your Heavenly Father, wants to say something to you that is important through the next thing that would happen that we would read. This is what happened next. David asked Ahimelech, Don't you have a spear or a sword here? I haven't brought my sword or any other weapon because the king's mission was urgent. See, David, this must be so ridiculous to Ahimelech. You are David. You are a warrior. You are the king's bodyguard. You go everywhere with 1,000 men. And here you are alone in the middle of the night, looking haggard, looking like a homeless guy, and you don't have any weapon on you. What's going on? So David wanted this weapon from Ahimelech. And if this is a movie, let me tell you, the music would change right here, because what happened next, you couldn't have written it yourself, all right? This is why I believe the Bible so much, that what the Bible says is true. So what happened next was amazing. God, I think, made this happen, all right? God wanted to put David on his track, to stop David on his track, and God gave David a visual reminder. Before you do anything stupid, David, you know, as if God is trying to say this, God is almost literally transport David back in time. Because guess what? The only weapon that was available was this. The priest replied, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah is here. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod." The ephod is the priestly garment that the priests were wearing. "If you want it, take it. There is no sword here but that one." You know, this is a visual reminder from God. And I have the actual sword of Goliath here with me. Can you believe that? I was praying to God last night and said, "God, I needed that sword to remind your people at the rocks about the sword of Goliath." And boom, it was right there in my room, this really sharp, amazing, large sword. Nah. But can you imagine? Of all the weapons that he could have had at that time, the only weapon available was the sword of Goliath. You know, David was about to take matter literally in his own hand. Now, we look at this story and we're sitting right here in the 21st century and we think, "David, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Where was that 15-year-old David that was so fearless that instead of running away from danger, he ran into danger? Where was that David that says, 'I put my trust in the Lord, I put my hope in him all day long, those who put hope in him will not be disappointed'? Where was that David? You know, where was the David that was so confident that no matter how big your enemy seems to be, you can always overcome them? Because why? Because the Lord is always with you, because the battle belongs to the Lord, and the Lord is the one who gives you victory." You know, that's why he said, all those gathered here, this is back when he was 15 years old, "All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord says, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give all of you into our hands." Where is that David? That 15-year-old David is nowhere to be seen. David the poet who wrote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." That David is nowhere to be seen. You know why? Let me tell you why. Because fear, anger, loneliness have the potential to make us forget the giants God helped us defeat in the past. You know, God has been so faithful to you in the past. You prayed to him and he delivered you. You asked him for help and he helped you. And now, because you are angry, because you're fearful, because you're afraid, you forgot the giants that God helped you slay in the past. You see, that's why it's so, so very dangerous. And I've been a pastor for over 20 years now. I've seen the most spiritual men, the most spiritual women doing the most stupid things in the world that they wouldn't otherwise do. And when you trace back to the reason why, you can almost trace it back to the fact that they were not themselves at the time. They were either fearful, angry, or they felt isolated. So let me tell you, be careful about your heart condition and remind yourself about what God has done for you in the past. All right? But David didn't do it. He made this mistake and he said, there's none like it. Give that sword to me. Give it to me. And then he fled. Instead of fleeing to God in God's arms, he fled from God, and literally he fled from King Saul. And of all the places, this is why when you're alone, angry, or isolated, you do the stupidest things in the world, right? Where did he choose to run? Instead of running somewhere safe, he ran to the land of the enemies. He ran to the land of the Philistines. And guess which city that he went to? He went to the city of Gath. Let me stop it right there. Yeah. He went to the city of Gath. And guess who was at Gath? Guess who was born in Gath? Goliath. Goliath came from Gath, all right? So that's what we do. We do the most stupid things in the world when we are isolated, angry, or afraid. See, this is what we Christians do. When we need God the most, that's when we are tempted to actually run away from God. Isn't that weird? Isn't that strange? You know better that God is always by your side. But when you're angry, the last thing that you want to do is run to God. I'm amazed at children. That's why Jesus says, be like the little children. Come unto me. Be like the little kids. You know, when I disciplined Jaden when he was young, he would be angry at me for like smacking him, for putting him in the naughty corner and all that. But guess what he would do after? He would run to me. The father who put him in the naughty corner, the father who smacked his backside, he actually ran to me crying and hugging me. That's what kids do. See, that's what we're supposed to do. When we are angry, isolated, or afraid, we should be running to God, not away from Him. But most of the time, let me tell you from experience, this is what I do as well. We're tempted to run away from God. We say things like, if God were really with me, He wouldn't have let this happen to me. So we give ourselves excuse. We give ourselves an out to do what we do, right? Instead of trusting God, we said, God, I'm gonna take matter in my own hand. I'm gonna do this now because if you were really with me, you wouldn't have let this happen to me. I'm here. I'm in this trouble because of you. Because of you, you were not with me. You didn't bless me. That's why I'm here, and that's why I'm gonna do this by myself. See, it's easy for us to trust God when we have nothing or very little to trust Him with, and we have nothing to trust Him for, right? When you were 15 years old, when you have nothing, it's easy to give everything that you have to God. You only have like $100 or $10 in your pocket. It's easy for you to give all of it to God. But suddenly now, you are doing better, but then you argue, you say you have responsibility. Now, I can't do it anymore. There's a lot at stake now. I have family now. I have mortgage. I have this. I have that. You know, it's easy to trust God when you have nothing. But when you have a lot, it's not as easy to trust God anymore. And it's easy also to trust God when things go well with our lives. Yeah? It's easy for us to sing like we sing this morning. You know, when things go well, it's very easy. But what if things don't go your way? Can you still serve God? Can you still sing to Him? Do you still trust Him? David, at this point, he didn't trust God. He fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. And that's when he realized his trouble. Can you imagine David coming to this city, all right? The whole town knew about David. He was the one, the enemy. He was the one who slayed the hero Goliath, and he brought Goliath's sword with him. And he said to the king, hey, I'm on your side now. I want to help you defeat Saul. I'm not an Israelite anymore. I'm on your side. Use me. And the king didn't believe him. The king wanted to kill him. That's when David realized, oh no, what have I done? And this is what he did. That's why you have to read your Bible. He pretended to be crazy to get away from the king. David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the door, scratching the gate, letting saliva run down his beard. And the king said, nah, this guy is nuts. He's gone. I don't want to have him in my courtyard. Throw him away. So they threw David, and David ran to the cave, one of the caves. And that's when he realized what he's done. And he sought God again. And he said, God, I want to know your ways. I want to know your ways. I have enough of running. I don't want to run anymore. You know, he wanted to be back on God's side now. But it's a case of a little bit too late. You know, you have to live with the consequence of your action sometimes. Yeah? God loves you. God restores you. You know, your future is still your future. But let me tell you, sometimes you just have to live with the consequence of your own action. And this is what happened to David, that he would regret for the rest of his life. When he was talking to Ahimelech, the high priest, another character was there. His name was Doeg. So this is what happened. Doeg overheard the conversation between David and Ahimelech, and he came to Saul, and he reported to Saul what he partially heard and saw. So Doeg the Edomite, who was standing with Saul's officials, said, "Hey, I saw David, the son of Jesse, come to Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, at Nob, and this is what he did. Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for him, and also gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine." It's obvious. This Ahimelech, the priest, he's not on your side, king. He's on the side of David. And Saul became so angry. Saul sent the priest Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, and all the men of his family who were the priests at Nob, and they called, and they all came to the king. And the king questioned Ahimelech. Saul asked him, "Why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, giving him bread and a sword and inquiring of God for him, so that he has rebelled against me and lies in wait for me as he does today? Everything is your fault, Ahimelech. You were obviously on his side. You were helping him with food, with weapon, and with inquiring of God. Now, I got to do what I got to do." Ahimelech answered the king in defense. He said, "Who of all your servants is as loyal as David, the king's son-in-law, captain of your bodyguard, and highly respected in your household? Who was like him? I didn't know. This was not the first time I helped him." He said, "Was that day the first time I inquired of God for him? Of course not. Let not the king accuse your servant or any of his father's family, for your servant knows nothing at all about this whole affair. I didn't know. I thought I was acting on your behalf. I didn't know he was on the run." But King Saul, like David, he too felt rejected. He too felt isolated because he thought everybody was on David's side. He too was angry at God, at David, and he too was fearful for his position, for his throne. So when you are angry, isolated, or afraid, what do? You do something stupid. So he was so angry, this is what he did. "You will surely die, Ahimelech, you and your whole family." So the king ordered the guards at his side, "Turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because they too have sided with David. They knew he was fleeing, yet they didn't tell me. But the king's officials were unwilling to raise a hand to strike the priest of the Lord. You know, we'll fight for you, king. You know, we'll destroy your enemies for you. But this is the high priest we're talking about. I'm not going to do it." But guess who was willing to do it? Doeg saw the opportunity. And he said, "If they don't want to do it, I'll do it for you." And the king ordered Doeg, "You turn and strike down the priest." So Doeg the Edomite, listen, this is what happened. Doeg the Edomite turned and struck them down. That day, he killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod. 85 priests died on that day because of Doeg and his men. And King Saul was not done. He was not happy. Killed everybody in the city of Nob. And that day, there was a slaughter. There was a massacre in that city. One of the kids survived, came to David, told him what happened. And David couldn't say anything except this: "I am responsible for the death of your whole family. I am responsible for it." You know, our time is almost up, but I want to leave you with this. I'm going to pick up the story again next week, so please come back. But I want to leave you with this. What are you considering to do that you've never considered before because of your fear, anger, and loneliness? Let God help you answer that question. Maybe you wouldn't normally do the things that you are planning to do, but What are you considering to do that you never considered before? Because you're afraid, you're angry, and you feel lonely. Or, let me rephrase it this way. Who are you considering that you never considered before because of your fear, anger, and loneliness? Maybe you said no to her so many times before. You said no to him. You didn't want to pick up that phone call, but now you're thinking about it. Oh, man, maybe I should call her. Maybe I should call him. You know, who are you considering that you never considered before only because you are angry, you are fearful, and you are lonely? And let me ask you this other question. Who will you put at risk because of what you consider doing? Who will you put at risk because of what you consider doing? The answer is obvious, isn't it? David knew it as well. It is the people that you love, the people who love you, that you put at risk because of what you consider doing when you're angry, isolated, or afraid. If the 15-year-old David could give the 22-year-old David advice, things probably would have been different. So maybe that's what you need to do. What advice would you give yourself? What advice would you give yourself so that you wouldn't do the stupid thing that you plan to do only because you're angry, isolated, and afraid? You know, be like the 15-year-old David, not like the 22-year-old David. The David who said, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." You can make it personal. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, your stronghold in times of trouble. Do you know that? That God is your stronghold in times of anger, isolation, fear. You can run to Him. You can run to Him. And the good news is, but 1,200 years later, came a man who came from God Himself, and he said this: "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest." You know, when you are angry, isolated, or afraid, your tendency is to run away from God. But don't do that. Run to Him. You can rest in Him. You can trust Him. Find yourself a visual reminder to help you. "God, I'm about to do something stupid here. Remind me again how faithful you were in my life. What is the sword of Goliath for you?" That would remind you of how God came through for you in the past. And if He came through for you in the past, He will come through for you again, now and in the future. What would be that sword of Goliath for you? What would be a visual reminder for you? You know, for me, it is the cross of Jesus Christ. If you feel like God doesn't care about you, just remember, He gave His Son Jesus to die for you. Another visual reminder for you would be your Bible. You know, if you don't have one, ask for one at the connection desk. We'd love to give one to you. But if you just spend every morning 5 or 10 minutes to read His Word, you know, the devil will speak lies to you all the time. That's what he does. He's the father of lies. Yeah? But if you open your Bible every morning, you will be reminded again and again and again of how faithful God has been and will be to you. So that's why I want to encourage every Christian, not as a ritual. You know, a lot of people think, "Oh, why do I have to read my Bible? Why do I have to read my Bible?" Because, let me tell you why. When you read your Bible, it will remind you. It's a visual reminder. You can see it, you can read it, and it will remind you that God is for you, not against you, that the battle belongs to the Lord, that you can trust Him with all of your heart. Because if you don't, guess what? When you are angry, isolated, or afraid, you will run away from Him. And you will do things that you will regret. And the people that you love, the people who love you, will be affected the most. Let's bow our head.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.